Advent is a season of hope for the Church and for all of humanity. Those were Pope Benedict's words as he celebrated the first Vespers of Advent in St. Peter's Basilica last weekend. And that same theme is also at the heart of a pastoral letter for Advent written by the Bishop of Nottingham in England to Catholics in his diocese, many of whom, he notes, are not feeling very hopeful as they struggle to cope with the current economic downturn.
The economic crisis is affecting our people in many, many ways. Above all, it's unemployment is a big threat.
In his pastoral letter for Advent, Bishop Malcolm McMahon quotes from St. Paul's words of encouragement to the Christians at Philippi, noting that Paul himself wrote the letter while suffering in prison. The bishop urges people to look beyond their present difficulties and focus on the message at the heart of our Christian faith. Bishop McMahon, can you tell us first of all how the current economic crisis is really affecting your area?
Yes, Philippa. We were a mining area. You know, Nottinghamshire and Derbyshire were, and parts of Leicestershire even, were very much mining communities, and the mines closed 20 years ago. And some of those areas have not recovered fully economically. Attempts at regeneration have failed. And now people are faced with more cuts, with possibility of unemployment, possibility of losing their homes. Because many people started to buy their homes when they got their payoffs from the coal board or from their previous industry. Now, of course, they can't afford the mortgages. So the threats are very real here in Nottinghamshire and Derbyshire, Leicestershire.
Have you got very many people facing serious chronic situations of poverty, people risking sleeping out on the streets and so on?
That's handled rather well in our area. The Catholic charities, particularly the Catholic charities, have responded well to looking after people who are homeless. We have one in Nottingham and also another one in Derbyshire, which was the one in Nottingham's Emmanuel House. It was set up by the diocese and the Assumptionist Fathers, and that continues for over 20 years to do great work for the people. And similarly, in Derbyshire, the Sisters of Mercy set up a charity, which is now a major one, which runs centres for the homeless. So we do cope with that very well, I think. But the prospect for people losing their homes and individuals, particularly young people, finding they've got nowhere to sleep at night, nowhere to live, is becoming an increasing problem.
How is this crisis affecting the Church, do you think? I mean, have you noticed people turning increasingly to their faith in such times of hardship, or are they actually staying away because there's so much else on their minds at the moment?
I think our church attendance is holding up very well. But what we notice with our city centre church is that people of other Christian denominations and other faiths are using those churches during the day for quiet, for prayer, for meditation, to give them a place of, give them a space where they can talk to God and to their gods as well. So we have Hindus and Muslims, all sorts coming in. It's really quite remarkable.
What are relations like between the different churches, the different faiths, indeed, there in your part of the country? There are big communities, as you say, Hindu and Muslim communities, aren't there?
Oh, yes, Leicester is always quoted as being the first majority Asian city. Just over 50% of the inhabitants would have come from the Indian subcontinent, from the Philippines, and also from parts of Africa as well. So it's a very multiracial, multi-ethnic, multicultural community. But we don't have too many, inter-community difficulties, because Leicester is still, in the south of the diocese, is still a fairly prosperous town, a commercial town with small industries. And so while people are working and they're enjoying some prosperity, the racial tensions recede into the background.
And what is the morale or the atmosphere like within your own church? You were quoted recently in the secular press, weren't you, as suggesting the church should accept more married men as priests. Is there a real crisis of vocations going on there?
I don't believe there is, Philippa. The question of married priests is one that always occurs in England because, of course, of the Church of England, and also because, of course, the late Holy Father's generosity in allowing married ex-Anglican priests to be ordained into the Catholic Church. So the question is always around, and it's not something that I personally believe in. I really think that celibacy is the way for the Catholic priesthood in the Latin Rite. I myself am a religious Dominican, and I can see how celibacy is so important, not just in practical reasons, but practical reasons. One doesn't have to worry too much about a family and so on, just worry about people as close as that, but also for deep spiritual reasons. As we, in our priesthood, we draw close to Christ, and it's a particular way of following Christ. It would be very hard, I think, for married men to be ordained as priests and to live their lives as priests in the Latin Rite of the Catholic Church.
Do you have many people training in the seminaries at the moment, or is there something of a crisis, though?
I've got five young men at the moment preparing for priesthood, and I have eight in a preparation group. I had two ordinations this year. So although numbers are reducing, we still have many priests. At the moment, I have, including religious, I probably have 100 active priests in the diocese for a Catholic community of 145,000, of whom 25% would go to church on any Sunday. So I don't think people are being deprived of leadership, of their Catholic community, or perhaps most importantly of all, of the Eucharist. There are many places in the developing countries where 35,000 mass goers would be attended to by one or two priests.
Going back to the pastoral letter, you're encouraging people, aren't you, to draw strength from 2,000 years of their Christian tradition, which, as you remind them, all started in a situation of great poverty and hardship in a stable in Bethlehem.
That's right. I thought that, particularly in St. Paul's position, where he's writing to the Philippians, and he's encouraging people to rejoice, and yet he himself is in prison when he's writing that letter. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. And I think that this economic downturn will help people reassess the true values in their life and treasure the gifts which are not material and you can't put a price on them, such as their faith, such as their family values, and the above all maybe the question of life.
Thanks there to Bishop Malcolm McMahon of the Diocese of Nottingham in the United Kingdom.